Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome to The Leaking Timeline, my friends, the show where we regularly spelunk in the deep, dark caverns of technology, culture, and today, more monetary policy for your listening pleasure. I'm Eric Newton, and with me back in the studio after his... What do we want to call that? Horrendous flu is my good buddy, co-host Guy Sengstock. Hey, man.
Hey, my friend. I'm so excited about today.
Well, who do we have? This is your guest.
Well, on this place on the dial where time itself leaks out and we bring in people to talk about what's happening there, Robert Breedlove is a guest of guests. Robert Breedlove, I would say you could think of him as something like one of the very central figures intellectually in the alternative money experiments, things like Bitcoin, altcoins, all these different kinds of coins. But he approaches it from a way that's completely different than everyone else I've seen in that space, in that they're not talking about those things in order to invest to then make more money.
Yeah.
He's a very different spirit. He's got a very different kind of soul and attention and intellect, where he's actually been asking himself, which is what his podcast is named after, which is, what is money itself?
That's the name of the podcast, What is Money?
Yeah.
I should have known that. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's such
totally.
A great question. What even is it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's too obvious. We can't ask him that question, can we?
No, we're not going to ask him that question. I'm sure of it. Robert, you know, I got to actually meet Robert and spend some time with him at his house with his wife and daughter and his whole team.
Oh, yeah.
And like I have to say, I really, really was... I was fully enrolled in who he is.
Yeah,
like he's just an exceptional person.
Well, I can't wait to meet him, and you got to see his image. He looks like a Chad.
Yeah,
Chad.
So. Totally.
Okay, we'll be back in just a few minutes on The Leaking Timeline with the Chad of Chads, Robert Breedlove.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100 count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's,
that sounds good.
Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Testing, testing, is that better? Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program.
Okay.
Our buying team
got
a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Blue sky. Some people think nature is like this, but actually, it's like this. Mother Nature's not all sunshine and rainbows. Nature can be hotter than a sauna and colder than an Arctic skinny dip. That's why Columbia engineers everything we make for anything nature can throw at you. Columbia, engineered for whatever.
All right, I'll do it.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline. I'm Eric Newton. We got Guy Singstock here, and we're going to be talking to Robert Breedlove today about monetary policy. And you can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, now monetary policy might be a little bit too boring of a topic. Is that, what do you think, Guy? What should we ask Robert?
We're not going to ask him, what is money? Okay. Robert, welcome.
Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's great to hear your voice again, my friend. I'm excited to connect with you again.
You know, likewise. Robert, to me, you're a legend. You know, as somebody who's been following Bitcoin forever, you know, you're just out there. You're one of the primary figures in the space. I don't know if you consider yourself a Bitcoiner or an alternative currency guy, but it's such a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. No, I do consider myself a dyed-in-the-wool Bitcoiner. I have one tattoo, which is the Bitcoin emblem under my right arm here. And I believe that it does represent probably the most significant humanitarian movement in the history of the human race, religions notwithstanding. I think the separation of money and state is monumentally important for human freedom and flourishing.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I want to follow directly up on that statement. However, I think the question I want to ask you, just to get the ball rolling, is not what is money, but Robert, what is it that had that question come to view as something that you so deeply are pursuing?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I didn't know this at the time, but when I reflected back on my educational journey, one of the books that was very formative was The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin.
Yeah.
And he talks about the nature and history of money, the history of central banking, focusing mainly on the inception of the Federal Reserve in the United States in 1913, which is the U.S. Central Bank. And that book actually had a subchapter in it titled, What is Money? And I think maybe subconsciously I picked it up from that. But when I read that in 2004 probably. So then when I'm starting the podcast in like 2020, I just wanted to create a title for the podcast that was more of an invitation to inquiry rather than an espousal of the solution. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there like, oh, Bitcoin is great and Bitcoin is this and Bitcoin changes the world. And it's like, yeah, of course, we all, Bitcoiners all agree with that sentiment. But to get there, that that initial espousal can be alienating, actually. You know, people say, oh, what do you mean Bitcoin's great? I'm not going to listen to that podcast. So I was trying to come up with an invitation, you know, like a philosophical, I guess a trailhead, right? To start down a philosophical exploration.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do that with Bitcoin, it's just like, okay, what is Bitcoin? Well, Bitcoin's a lot of different things. We could approach this a lot of different ways. There's the technical computer perspectives, there's the economic perspectives, there's the internet perspectives, you know, et cetera. But it is mostly has economic consequences on money, right? It's like it's the invention of a pure money. So a very, probably the most straightforward answer to what is Bitcoin is that Bitcoin is money. And then if you want to go one layer deeper, you have to ask, naturally, what is money?
Okay, we do have to ask it. We have to ask it. we can't get away from it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, then let me formally ask you, Robert, what even is money?
Yeah, there's so many answers to this. I was going to just pull up a document real quick.
Well, all right. Let me rattle off. So let me just tell you, when I was an econ student back in the deep, dark ages of the early 90s, and I would ask my economy professor, they could never give an answer to the darn question. Yeah. And then I remember Bitcoin came out and everybody said, okay, well, there's actually three things that it is. It's a unit of account. It's a medium of exchange. And it's a store of value. That's what money is. And anything that can do those three things is money. But that's just like the beginning. That's like the scratching the very tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's not an answer, actually.
Yeah.
You just defined the functions of money. You haven't defined what money is. You haven't defined the ontology of money itself. And I think it is genuinely a difficult question, because it is very much one good answer to the question, what is money, is that it is the language of power or human action. So it has this linguistic element that it actually lets entrepreneurs communicate. We're all, not just entrepreneurs, anyone participating in the market process is basically communicating their preferences through money.
Which is to say every human being, everybody.
Which is to say every human being. It is the language that connects us more than any other language, with the possible rivalry of like the Hindu Arabic numeral system. You know, like in the same way zero-based mathematics are global and ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Money is global and ubiquitous, at least conceptually.
Yeah.
And so it has this linguistic component. And I think when you try to look at it that way and you say, okay, well, what is language? Well, then you get straight into the philosophy rabbit hole and realizing that you can never step out of literacy, to be more specific, to define what literacy is.
As with any system, right? You can never step outside of it to define the darn thing.
So any meaning-making system at all, you need to be able to stand outside of the system to truly, literally, that's what the metaphor of understand means, right? To stand beneath, to get closer to the substance of the thing. But the thing about language and the thing about money is that you can never get outside of them. So one analogy that I like to use is that, you know, money is economic water. And we are like the fish that have never broken the surface. Mm. You know, that's why it's hidden in plain sight. It's all around us. We think about it a lot. We think through it a lot. Obviously, it's a very important material incentive. But because we've never known a world outside of it or without it, we just sort of take it for granted, right? It's like the oxygen or the air or language itself. It is just ubiquitous and therefore taken for granted.
If I throw out another descriptor, tell me if this helps or if it's just another description of its output. How about the coordinator of human activity?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Language also serves that purpose, broadly speaking. I think mathematics, also being a language, serves that purpose. To use my terminology, like I like to focus, because language is a broad term that I think includes literacy, numeracy, money. It also includes things like music, you know, genetic code, other things. So language is a very broad term. Instead, I like to focus on the specific languages that are very important for human beings. And I think the three most important, and well, it depends on your metric for importance here, but obviously literacy is very important. It's how we interconnect our minds and share our subjective thoughts. Numeracy is equally, if not more important, right? It's how we establish an objective grip on the world. And I think money is, it's neither subjective nor objective. It's more of this transjective language, which makes sense when you get into what human action really is, and that it's the first principle of all things. There's nothing that you can say in this world. There's no observation you can make. There's no reflection, no abstraction that does not originate as a human action. And that goes into maybe too far afield into the rabbit hole of praxeology, but it's something that I've found to be very interesting. I think another good answer to the question, what is money, is the definition of the properties that good money has. And to use a more technical term, we could use the term affordances. This is a term that was coined by Gibson in the 1960s. I don't know if he coined it in this book, but the book that I read of his was An Ecological Approach to Visual Perception. He repeatedly states, first of all, to define an affordance, it is any real relation between an organism and its environment, a real possibility for action, basically, or a pathway for action. So the example that you know, Verveke commonly uses is graspability. You know, is the graspability in the can or is it in my hand? It's like, well, it's neither, because my hand can't grab a cloud and an ant can't grab the can. So it's a real fitness relationship for action that's between the hand and the can. And so those affordances, which he also goes into repeatedly saying they're neither subjective nor objective, again, because they're actions. And so they're like, action itself is superordinate to subject-object duality. But these affordances, they tend to end in the letters ability, either A-B-I-L-I-T-Y or I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. And so words like graspability, verbalizability.
Yes.
And betweenness.
And betweenness. It's the metaxu. Yes.
Well, gentlemen, before you get into the... Speaking of betweenness, this is a moment for us to take a break and step into that liminal space. We'll be right back in just a few moments with
more... On your Leaking Timeline.
That's right.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Welcome back. We are still stubbornly on your leaking timeline with Robert Breedlove today. You can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. So, Robert, we were just starting to talk about some of the affordances of money. And, you know, it strikes me that bringing it into the concrete reality of asking this question of what even is money, we have to look at the money that already exists. There's the U.S. dollar. You know, people definitely think of the dollar as money. It seems like it's at least one instantiation of money. All the other national currencies, fiat currencies as they're called, are, or are they? Are they money?
Well, it's a good question. And it again depends on your definition of money. Another very popular definition of money is that it is a universal medium of exchange, which is to say that it is something that is accepted very widely in trade. So in that sense of the word money, the U.S. dollar, many other fiat currencies are money. However, by another definition of money, which is money is the final extinguisher of debt, I would say that fiat currency is not money because fiat currency has liability built into it. So you, for instance, could take out as many dollar bills as you want and stuff them under your mattress or bury them in your yard or whatever. And you may think that you are safe from a bank run or any other, you know, counterparty risk, assuming you secure the dollars effectively. But what you're not actually protected from is the counterparty risk in the Federal Reserve that can just continue printing the money, which is counterfeiting currency, to be more technically specific. That is debasing your purchasing power, even if those dollars are stored safely under your mattress or in your yard or whatever it may be.
Now, wait a minute. I'm with you 100% on this. It's obvious that the dollar has lost value over time and will continue to lose
94% of its value since 1900.
Boom. So we know that that has happened. I mean, everybody knows that's happened, and it's continuing. It's called inflation, or that's the way the mechanism we use to point to this fact. But counterfeiting, it's legal. What do you mean by counterfeiting?
Well, you just answered the question, actually. It's inflation is legal counterfeiting. Counterfeiting is criminal inflation. These are both the exact same phenomenon. They just have a different legal treatment.
So money printing.
It's just printing,
money,
yeah.
Money printing is currency counterfeiting. So if you go and print a $100 bill, you will go to jail, right? That activity is indistinguishable from what the Federal Reserve does by the trillion.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just legally authorized to do so.
Now, you know, this is a segue to our conversation that we had last week. We had Philip Rosedale on the show last week. He was the founder of Second Life. You know Second Life, Robert? It was one of the. Second Life is one of the very first virtual worlds, and and millions of people still use Second Life and live in it and are active in that world at right now. And they create digital goods and they sell them to one another and they use an in-universe currency to do it. And in order for that currency to be pegged to the US dollar, the founders of Second Life had to instantiate a monetary policy to keep it pegged. And they think of themselves as essentially a little country that interacts with all the other countries in the world that has its own currency and has to interact with all the other currencies and float against their currencies. And one of the insights that he had was that in order for that system to work, they have to both increase and decrease the supply of the dollars inside that universe. I think they're called Linden dollars. And what he took from that is that if you're going to create a currency in the real world that actually works, it has to have tax built into it. And his reasoning for that is that anytime somebody by luck or merit gets ahead of the curve in terms of their accumulation of a given currency, they outstrip everybody else's ability to be productive just by dint of having more of the underlying currency. And in order to counteract that effect, you have to tax them and redistribute some portion of their wealth, either by transactions or a wealth tax. And that otherwise, it just doesn't work. What do you think of that hypothesis?
Fundamentally wrong.
Yes, say why.
Fundamentally wrong. So first of all, taxation and inflation. Inflation is another form of taxation, right? It's the debasement of your purchasing power that occurs through currency counterfeiting. These are both forms of theft, right? These are violations of private property. So to say that a currency only works if it has tax built into it is to say that a money only works if it has theft built into it, which again is effectively what I described when I said that money defined as the final extinguisher of debt. Fiat currency cannot possibly meet that definition because it has theft built into it, has inflation built into it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like your friend, though, was trying to peg their in-game currency to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is not, again, it's not money in that sense. Gold is money. You know, what J.P. Morgan said over 100 years ago, gold is money, everything else is credit, right? So there's only one free market asset that emerged as a final extinguisher of debt and a global medium of exchange or a universal medium of exchange, and that is gold. Gold has a very long history. You know, it's 5,000 plus years old as a monetary technology. The U.S. dollar itself actually established its network effect because it was once redeemable for gold. And it wasn't until 1971 with the infamous Nixon shock that he revoked redeemability to gold, which was said to be a temporary measure. And of course, it's been over 54 years now, and we have not gone back to a gold standard. So your friend is definitely wrong. And he may need to increase and decrease the supply of his Lynchian bucks or whatever they're called to stay pegged to the U.S. dollar. But that's just because the U.S. dollar is being managed, the supply of it's being managed arbitrarily.
Yeah, I love him, but I do think you're right. It just feels intuitively like theft, and nobody wants that. We want a hard currency. We want something that is stable, that we can rely on, that you can put your value into, that's going to stick there and be consistent and continuously.
Well, that's the thing,
real.
Is you take a lot of risk to earn money, right? You take investment risk, execution risk, market risk, you know, career risk, whatever it may be. When you earn, when you're successful in that risk taking, right, and you get the rewards, which are the other side of the coin of risk, you want to be able to conserve that purchasing power in something that's low risk.
Yeah.
That's the point. The point is to put it somewhere that you know it'll be there, right? It will at least maintain its value across time, which is one of the functions of money you alluded to earlier, a store of value, which more technically I would call it a store of purchasing power. Mm-hmm. That is a function that is highly desirable to people. That is the bedrock of capitalism itself, right? If I can run a profitable business and reinvest my either conserve my profits in a low risk asset like money, such that I can deploy them whenever I need to in the business or into other investments, then that gives me the most optionality and that allows me to be maximally effective as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty clear, like no man would want to hold a money that someone else can print.
Yeah.
Right. You're just putting yourself at the mercy of the person that can print.
Yeah.
So what does the world actually zero in on? The world market zeroes in on money that cannot be printed, cannot be counterfeited.
Yeah.
That's what gold is. And that's what Bitcoin is becoming. Bitcoin is disruptive to gold for a number of reasons, which we could circle back to describing the affordances of money to explain why.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing I think I'm grokking about the affordance issue, right, with this is it's like if you ask yourself, okay, it's gold. We peg the dollar on the gold. And you ask yourself, well, where is the value? Is it in the gold? Or is it in the agreement that we have that it's worth that? Mm-hmm. And if you take away the gold, the agreement doesn't make any sense, right?
Exactly.
And if you take away the agreement, the gold doesn't make any sense.
It's just a rock.
So it's this between affordance. Is this what you're getting at with the thing that we really got to get money?
Well, so if I focus on that zeroing in process, which you could also call this like a process of technological discovery that occurs in marketplaces. People naturally want to find the best tool for the job, right? Whatever's going to solve their problem better, faster, cheaper, right? So, you know, we prefer iPhones over rotary phones because the iPhone has such better features, right? So the world uses iPhones, not rotary phones today, for instance. And when it comes to money, the affordances, and again, an affordance, it's a real relationship for action between an organism and an environment, often ended in ability or ability, like graspability, et cetera. There are five affordances of money that tell you what a good money is, basically. And the unique thing about money is that we're the only animal that uses it. So this is actually between humans specifically and monetary technologies. The first affordance that people seek is divisibility. Right, the money needs to be divisible into small units, into big units, so they can transact at multiple scales. It also needs to have durability, so the money needs to persist across time.
Robert, let me say
this. Speaking of time and persistence.
Speaking of time. All right, yeah. We'll be right back after this with more from Robert Breedlove.
Airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Have you suffered sports betting losses? There is someone who wants to fight for you to see you get back what you have lost to those sports betting companies. Michael Watts is a prolific trial lawyer with over $11 billion in total recoveries for his clients. And now with sportsbettingclaim.com, he'd like to help you. Michael has been a leader in some of the largest and most complex cases in the country, from defective cars and tires to damaging drugs and medical products. He has always represented the rights of individuals harmed by large corporations. His efforts recently resulted in the recovery of billions for individuals who lost their properties to fires carelessly caused by electric companies and others. Michael knows that sports betting companies preyed on and manipulated consumers into losing their life savings, and he wants to make them pay. If you have suffered financial hardship as a result of online sports betting and would like help seeking compensation, please submit your claim information for evaluation at sportsbettingclaim.com. Michael Watts is focused on winning for you. Sportsbettingclaim.com.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to your continuously leaking timeline, my friends. We're here with Robert Breedlove today talking about what money can and should be and why we even care. If you care, join the conversation at 800-878-7529.
You know, Robert, you made this analogy. I think it was involving, you know, fiat currency, where you made this kind of an analogy basically to something like quantum physics. Like, I think you said, can you spell that out? Because when you said that was like a nuclear bomb going off in my head.
I think you're mentioning a tweet that I put up a few days ago, which I will try to unpack here. But basically, a strange thing about money is that the purchasing power of money is affected everyone's purchasing power. So anyone that has savings anywhere in the world, and again, purchasing power, you could just think of as the goods or services that your money can buy, basically. That purchasing power that's in everyone's money is affected by every human action that has ever taken place in the history of the human race and continues to take place. So for instance, if I take an apple and I destroy it, I vaporize it or something, I've now reduced everyone in the world's money. I've reduced their purchasing power by one apple, right? And you could scale that up to a building or car or whatever it is. Like, you've reduced the supply of goods and services in the world. And money is that thing we use to trade goods and services. So the analogy that I drew to quantum mechanics was that in quantum mechanics, there's this concept of entanglement, right? Where you take one particle nearby another particle and you perform a certain entanglement action on them, then you can separate these particles by light years, you know? And when you make a change to one of those particles, it instantaneously affects the other one. Like, it's faster than the speed of light. And we really, I don't know a ton about quantum, but I don't know that we have a causal mechanism for that. Like, it's just one of these strange, they call it spooky action at a distance, I think is what Einstein called it.
And yeah, so, at a distance, because it doesn't matter how close you are. Proximity doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah, close or far, it seemingly exceeds nature's speed limit, which is the speed of light. And so it might be a tenuous connection, but I was just saying, like, we basically have this economic entanglement through money where all of our actions, right? If I increase the supply of goods and services in the world, then I'm actually adding to the productive output of the species and increasing everyone's purchasing power. And if I do the opposite and I just consume, then I'm actually hurting other people's purchasing power. So there's very much a kind of like a moral and a practically, you know, entangled situation with money.
You know, I just got to confess, everything you're saying, it's like listening to my favorite song. I'm so sold. I've been so sold on Bitcoin for so long. You know, it's so obvious to me.
The fiat, you know what's funny system there? Is what? You said you're so sold. another interesting thing money is, and we don't realize this, we have so many conceptual metaphors that use money. I think someone said that, you know, Christ spoke in parables, something like 50 some odd parables in the Bible, and I think 25% of them involve money. So this betweenness, this relatedness, this metaxu, whatever you want to call it, money provides a very good experience that we can use to metaphorize to other experiences. So, you know, Franz Kern, for instance, said justice is neither for sale nor affordable. Right? Clearly, that doesn't mean justice is not actually being sold, nor is it affordable. He's just saying he's using money as a conceptual metaphor to describe something abstract like justice. You hear people, you know, Henry David Thoreau, the price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it. You might hear people say, like, you'll pay for this.
No, that's the thing. It's your life force, right? I mean, we're all just, we're just living, we're just trying to do our best. And we're just, and we throw ourselves up against this broken mechanism for measuring the value we provide to the world called fiat currency. And it's the best our governments can do. I don't subscribe to some evil conspiracy theory that there's bad, maybe there are now people who've taken advantage of the system, but I don't think it was created to be evil. It was created as a really great technology, but it's just not working anymore. And my hope has always been that as more and more people realize this, Bitcoin specifically could start out as this little seed that could grow and grow and eventually overshadow the existing system and provide and like replace it. And it almost felt like we got escape velocity. We were just starting to get it in this most recent cycle when Bitcoin started to hit 120 grand and people were really into it. Now it's dipping a little bit. That doesn't particularly worry me. But what worries me, Robert, is that actually people have stopped caring and that they're just going to keep going along with the broken system because it's the easier system. And they're not going to start subscribing to this harder but better.
Yeah, well, here's why that's not going to happen. Because Bitcoin is like gunpowder, right? You either adopt this innovation or you get outcompeted by those who do adopt the innovation. So it's very Darwinian in that sense. Like if your aim is to preserve purchasing power across time, which as you said, it is our life force. So maybe that's a better way to describe purchasing power, just life force.
Yeah.
It is the means by which we acquire the means of our survival, right? Goods and services. Then people will necessarily seek out the best tool for the job, right? If you are living through a hyperinflationary regime, and your currency doesn't hold purchasing power, well, then Bitcoin's going to be helpful for you, right? If you're a billionaire that's being targeted by wealth redistribution schemes, well, then Bitcoin's hyperportability and hyperconcealability will also work in your favor. So we could really boil down Bitcoin to the strongest form of private property the human race has ever had, right? It is the asset that you can own with the most assurance that no one can take it from you. You know that no one can print it, right? It's a fixed supply asset, 21 million is the money supply cap, so no one can debase you. And then when you custody your own Bitcoin, which is just to just hold a private key, basically to keep a secret, right? It's just a piece of information. Then you are protected from direct plunder or extortion. So this is a very major innovation, right? Every other form of private property we've had, specifically bearer assets like gold, these things work well, but until you need to leave the country, right? Well, it's hard to move $100 million of gold out of the country very quickly, especially under duress. But with Bitcoin, you could just memorize 12 words. And you could cross any border in the world with 100 million, a billion, whatever your number is on your brain.
What about the recent politicization of Bitcoin? You know, it used to be just sort of a bunch of geeks who were talking about this stuff and realizing the impact it could have. But now it's become a political animal. And the left seems to be against crypto and the right seems to be for it. And the left says that the right is for it because they're nepotists and they're taking advantage of the system and et cetera, et cetera. How do we escape this moment?
Yeah, you know, it's a natural process of an asset monetizing globally that every business, which nation states are businesses, right? They're just businesses that specialize in coercion, compulsion, and violence. They have going concern risk, which is how are we going to keep funding our business into the future, right? So they too are looking to move purchasing power across time. And so none of that is surprising to me. I would push back a little bit saying that Bitcoin has become politicized because although politicians are interested in Bitcoin, Bitcoin is not interested at all in politicians, right? As we say in Bitcoin, TikTok next block, nothing changes, right? It's like trying to pass laws to regulate Bitcoin is like trying to pass laws to regulate gravity. Nothing that any politician or policy or police state in the world, they can't do anything to change Bitcoin. And that is the core value proposition, in that Bitcoin is radically changing the world because it is itself unchangeable.
Okay, then what about the recent quantum computing FUD?
Yeah, a lot of people have talked about this. First of all, if quantum computing, if there is a breakthrough in quantum computing and that breaks elliptic curve cryptography, this would be the end of the entire commercial internet. So no more secret keeping online, period. So your online banking, all your apps, every digital thing you've ever used would no longer be useful. It wouldn't be functional in the event that we break all cryptography. Now, historically, cryptography has been like a cat and mouse game where we have, if you've ever seen the movie The Imitation Game, it's an excellent movie about World War II and the Allies and the Germans trying to decrypt one another's messages. It's told from the position of Alan Turing and his team as they're trying to crack the German Enigma cryptographic machine. And that, it's always been like that, right? Someone's trying to figure out a better way. Again, cryptography, just consider it secret keeping through mathematics. Someone's always tried to develop a more sophisticated form of mathematics to keep secrets, and one that no one else can crack, right? A code that no one else can crack. That game has been cat and mouse for all, you know, most of human history. So I think if there was a quantum breakthrough that obliterated all of our current cryptography, it's very likely we would develop quantum resistant encryption. And if we did not, or we could not, then all digital everything goes away. And we're just like back in the Stone Ages, which is kind of a paradoxical thing when you consider quantum computing being such a major breakthrough. Yeah. So I personally assign a very low probability to that outcome.
It also seems to me like it is possible to do quantum resistant cryptography, and embedding it in Bitcoin Core may be a trick, but if it were broken suddenly out of nowhere, you'd roll back the ledger to some T-minus 2 seconds and reinstantiate the ledger on quantum resistant substrate and you're good to go.
You know, Cantor proved that there are an infinite number of infinities, which is very mind-bending. But when you consider that that is our upper limit, an infinite number of infinities, I think we will always find a way to keep secrets through mathematics. I don't think that will ever go away.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I have been utterly fascinated by with, I would say, not Bitcoin per se, but people's relationship to Bitcoin. Because I've seen this on with multiple friends and colleagues across time, independent of each other, is that when they like get into Bitcoin, and not just as an investment, right? Like as part of their portfolio, but really like do the study, as you say, the 100 hours it takes to really start to understand the underlying principle of it. It's not. It's like their life changes.
Yes.
Like there is something that's being revealed there. And I would call it something like a Gnostic awakening. It's like it seems like they realize that they've been living in a bubble that's corrupt. And they recognize where the freedom is. And this is ends up change that changes the whole style and the way they think about life. And I've seen that over and over and over and over again. And after we're about ready to come up on a break, but I would love to at least start right here of like, what the hell do you make of that, Robert?
No, we came right up onto the break with the question. Okay. Oh my goodness, Robert. All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes and we'll get your answer on that. And then we're also going to do more on the podcast. All right, folks, we'll be right back on Your Leaking Timeline in a few moments with Robert Breedlove.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
Welcome back. The timeline is still leaking. We're still here with Robert Breedlove. And, you know, the thing is, we've really got so many directions we can go with this conversation. And the good news is we've got the podcast. So we're going to continue this conversation after the live portion of the show ends and go deeper on a couple questions. Guy, what was the track you were trying to go on?
Basically, it seems like when people really get into Bitcoin deeply, they have this kind of personal transformation that I've seen as a pattern for a number of years. What is that? That's the question we can probably dive into.
Yeah. It's almost as if Bitcoin is an opening to a bigger breakthrough. Okay, and then Robert, just to cue it up, the other question I want to ask is peace and Bitcoin. You know, there's a lot of thinking around this notion that it's our monetary system that leads to the constant war syndrome that we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. Whether, I'm really curious if actually Bitcoin can have any impact on that. So, but don't try to answer those now. We don't have enough time. What we should do instead is find out if somebody wants to start learning about Bitcoin or they want to learn about you, Robert, where are good places for people to go?
You could check out whatismoneypodcast.com. You could also find me on X at breedlove22, B-R-E-E-D-L-O-V-E 22.
Are there any books
that you've written?
Yeah, have you written?
I have co-authored one book. I'm working on my first book that won't be published until the end of 2026. I co-authored a book, Thank God for Bitcoin. It's written to be a very accessible intro to Bitcoin, specifically the moral dimensions of it.
And when does that come out?
That came out 2 years ago, so that one's already available.
Okay, great.
So thank God for Bitcoin.
I have a lot of published essays online as well that you can find through my social media accounts.
Okay, it's Robert Breedlove, B-R-E-E-D-L-O-V-E, and you can find...
Thank God for Robert Breedlove.
Thank God for Robert Breedlove and Bitcoin.
Thank you, guys.
You can find our show at leakingtimeline.com.
That place where time itself leaks out, and we have interesting people to talk about it.
And we'll see you for more next week.